2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
I'm on vacation every single day because I love my occupation. Hey, I'm on vacation. If you don't like your life, then you should go and change it.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hey, log on to KSLSports.com and you will see the Hans and Scotty Christmas bracket, Christmas movie bracket. And I love all of our listeners. And I'm not mad. I'm just a little disappointed.
It's okay. You can be mad.
No, it's all right. Everybody's got opinions.
Wait, do we have results?
Yeah, and some people's opinions are wrong.
They are very wrong. Have we? Are we into the second round? Or are we still in the first round?
Still in the first. See, I wish Madison would just.
I was asking as if Madison was here right now, but she's not.
She is, but she's not.
Maddie, are we in the second round?
Starts at midnight.
Is that as close as you're going to get to the mic?
Oh, man.
Right, ask her another question.
Madison, how's Trapped in Paradise doing?
It has about 90 votes compared to its competitor at like 500 votes.
Don't you puff out your chest over this.
Nobody's puffing out their chest. What I'm tired of is all of this talk about the Muppets.
What's going on with the Muppets?
Nobody in their entire life has thought, oh, it's Christmas. You know what I need? I just need some weird little creatures that are joined by wires.
I need a little Jim Henson in my life.
Oh, I dang near left Christian and Beaver because of this.
If I don't get a hand up the back of a puppet that's wiggling a mouth, I just don't feel the Christmas spirit.
Is Christian Cox, is he a Muppets fan too?
He's a Muppets guy.
So
he's on the Muppets.
Hey, maybe we're in the minority in this.
No, we're not. It's a dumb movie.
Because everybody else loves the stupid Muppets movie.
In fact, any movie that was on there that had maybe a little bit of an edge to it, he's like, oh, that's just not good fun.
Maddie,
that's not clean fun.
Muppets is up against A Christmas Story, right?
Muppets is up against A Christmas Story.
How are we doing on that one? Where are we at?
What did he say?
See, this, Madison, is why you need to be in there so you can hear what they're saying, and then you can just be on air.
I just want to know where we're at with The Christmas Story and A Muppets.
Neck and neck. They're about like 200 to 300. Muppets losing by a little.
So the Muppets are losing
by a little, yeah.
But not by much. Maybe we shouldn't say that because now
Christmas Story is a one seed.
Because now we're going to get all the. Well, no, I probably can't say that word.
No, we won't. We'll get the love and support of A Christmas Story.
The people who love the stuffed animals, we're going to get them showing up and start voting for them. And we got to be careful about that.
A Muppets Christmas. That's where you want to go. That's where you want to be when Jesus comes back.
That's where you want to be. It's watching a Muppets movie.
Really?
Hey, look. All right, let's look at the staff here. Apparently, Christian Cox likes it. Apparently, Jake Scott is a Muppets fan. I should have figured that out because he's got that weird Fraggle Rock obsession.
Yeah.
And then Ben Anderson's leading the charge. Like, Ben's at the gates with the pitchfork and the torches ready to bring the whole place down.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Like, Ben is like the most even-keeled, just chill person on the planet until we started disrespecting Muppets, and then it was go time.
I'm trying to get to my bracket over here. You could go to KSLSports.com and you can find the bracket and you can vote. I would suggest that you vote for A Christmas Story.
Top Stories is the third story down. Hans and Scotty, ultimate Christmas movie bracket.
Make sure that it continues to live on. A Christmas Story should probably be in the finals. Christmas Story might win. I'm starting to lean more towards an actual movie with deep substance.
Like Die Hard.
A Wonderful Life. No, not like Die Hard. I told you I had a throw the remote at the couch and walk out of the family party type moment over A Wonderful Life. It's black and white. You know what it is? It's an amazingly deep, heartfelt, touching movie that can change your life if you can just see through the black and white of it all, because it references a time where relationships were much better and people cared about each other much more.
Okay, Grandpa. Let's go do Die Hard, though. Die Hard's much better.
Die Hard is not much better.
It is. Here's a man sacrificing for his family, going through all kinds of adversity, all with the sole purpose in mind of reuniting his family.
What was Die Hard's matchup? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. It was who was Die Hard matched up against? I can't remember. But I will say that Bad Santa and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer are going toe-to-toe.
That was a first-round matchup nightmare, I think, for Bad Santa.
If you've not watched Bad Santa...
Die Hard is against the rom-com, The Holiday.
Okay.
Oh.
Which Madison voted for The Holiday.
Oh, Madison! No, you didn't.
She did.
Madison admitted that she had not seen Die Hard yet, which is required viewing for the holidays. Nothing gets you in the holiday spirit more than yippee-ki-yay.
A man saving his wife from yes. Hans Gruber.
Yeah. Hans Gruber? I'll tell you what, I love my Hanses. You got Hans Klopek and Hans Gruber.
Those are two very yes. classic villains in movies, for sure.
I don't think anything has done more to damage your ability for people to say Hans more than Hans Gruber and Hans Klopek.
Hans, booby. No.
I'm your white knight.
It's hurt me, for sure. That's all right.
It's a problem.
You see how well I dodge and weave?
Sure, yeah.
Never hurts my feelings.
All right, so moral of the story is, vote your conscience, do what's right, and go to KSLSports.com and vote for Trapped in Paradise. Get this thing into the second round.
Make the right decisions. Like, just make better decisions in life. It'll make you'll feel better about yourself.
This one hurts. Hey, by the way, Lloyd, your Portuguese are running up the score. Ooh. Tell them to show a little class out there.
No, it's okay. Run it up, run it up. No.
Oh, they have.
With the Americans out, this is our team.
And I don't think the beautiful one has been on.
No, the beautiful one has not played. Did he get in some fight with the coach or something? Yes. What's going on there?
Yes. No, I do know.
Did he get in a fight with the coach?
In fact, the coach has been very outspoken. There has been a complete fallout between the two.
So what's the problem? He thinks he's too big for the team, which he probably is.
Yeah, I was going to say he is, but.
Well, they're not.
Okay, well, I'll tell you right here. Cristiano Ronaldo was not included as a Portuguese starter after a fallout with coach Fernando Santos after Friday's World Cup game against South Korea. Ronaldo looked visibly frustrated when he was replaced in the 65th minute of the 2-1 defeat, with cameras catching Ronaldo appearing to say, "He's in a rush to sub me." So,
by the way, this is like
there was a fallout against South Korea.
This would be like taking out Pele.
Yeah, you can't take
it's like
out
taking out Michael Jordan. Like, really, you're going to sit Michael Jordan? Are you serious?
Hey, you can't do that. But here's the thing: they're up 4-0, and for those of you that are new to soccer, and I'm sorry that I have to try to inform you on soccer, but nil means zero.
Is that something that needs to be explained?
Yeah.
I don't think that's just a soccer thing.
It's not a good look for Cristiano, who's not been on the pitch when a team's running away with it. Now, it looks like they're playing the country of sushi. Is that S-U-I?
That's the Swiss. Can you see the flag?
S-U-I stands for sushi.
Wait a minute. The Swiss, you know, three-letter thing is S-U-I?
Yes.
By the way, the Swiss just got on the board.
Oh, look, they're all kinds of upset about what's happening with this 4-0 run. So it's just not a good look for Cristiano.
I think he'll be fine.
The beautiful one.
I think he'll get through this somehow.
And that is your World Cup update.
Yep. Far more than what we've usually been bringing you for your World Cup update, but there you go. 4-1 with the Swiss on the board. I wonder what the over-under is. Do people gamble a lot on World Cup soccer?
I believe so. I actually am guessing. I was told that over 350 million people watch World Cup.
That may be a sign you have a gambling problem if you're trying to gamble on World Cup soccer. That and arena football, those are the two that are going to get you into trouble.
Yeah, they'll find a way to hurt you.
Yeah.
Do you believe that 350 million people are watching
World Cup soccer? It's a worldwide sport, yeah. I mean, we here in America don't necessarily. I mean, we watch it, and we're relatively interested in it. But as soon as the United States is out, are people still going to be dialed into it?
When did they start abbreviating Swiss with S-U-I, sushi?
Maybe that's like their, you know, everybody's got this weird little nickname. Like maybe it's the Swiss sushis.
The Swiss sushi chefs. That's a lot of
Yeah, careful. Now, some Swiss sushi just got himself a yellow card.
Yeah, he did.
Can't be doing that, mister. All right. So, story coming out about Ed Lamb. Ed Lamb's on his way, apparently, to be the head coach in Northern Colorado, taking a grad assistant with him, DJ Williams, according to Mitch Harper, who played at Utah State. Really cool story on DJ Williams, was part of that Netflix Last Chance U documentary. But he apparently will be going with Ed Lamb as a cornerback coach there at Northern Colorado. So, congratulations to him and congratulations to Ed. I think he'll do a tremendous job as we see the remake of the BYU coaching staff. And I know probably a lot of BYU fans is kind of staring at Twitter waiting for the main shoe to drop in terms of what's going to happen with leadership of that BYU defense.
Well, we've seen so many names included in this. Kelly Popinga, former BYU linebacker and former Virginia coach. He was most recently now with Boise State. He has been around the coaching ranks for a lot of years. He has found and developed great talent. I think that he was Van Noy's coach. I know that he was Fred Warner's coach. He's coached some really good linebackers that have done some great things in the NFL. And if you've got a chance to bring him back in any capacity, you do it. I still feel the same with Frank Miley, if you can do it.
Yeah.
But the name that we are all standing here waiting to hear is Jay Hill. That is the commitment that I'm waiting to hear, whether it was turned down, whether it was offered, whether it was wherever we are with it. I'm waiting to hear if Jay Hill has an opportunity or will take an opportunity to grab that job, which leads me into another conversation about Jay, because I heard him on with Ben and Jake today. And Scotty, you and I know of some job offers, or we believe that there have been job offers for Jay Hill.
Yes, they have existed in the past, correct.
I don't know if I've heard of a head coaching job offer for Jay Hill.
I think that there may have been one or two in the Mountain West Conference.
Where it was an upgrade.
Yeah.
So you feel like there may have been.
I feel like there have been, yes.
So,
and I'm speculating. That's not a report. I've just heard that there have been some overtures for Jay to take over certain jobs. I mean, honestly, if I'm Jay Hill, that UNLV job looks somewhat appealing. I know it's a tough place to play, but he's got a great reputation with those high school coaches in Nevada. I think he can recruit Nevada, Utah, and I think he is the stabilizing force that program needs instead of a little bit less flash and more substance. I think he'd be a great fit down there.
How many FCS head coach hires are we seeing to FBS head coach positions?
Doesn't happen a lot, but it happens. The one that jumps to mind is Youngstown State had, what's his name? The guy that took the Ohio State job and they won some titles there. Jim Tressel was a FCS guy. So it happens. Or Washington State hired a guy from Eastern Washington. A few years ago, didn't go well. But yeah, it happens at some level.
I continue to look
at Wyoming's guy was North Dakota State's head coach, Craig Bull.
I continue to look at how often it happens and how often the opportunity comes around. Because the thing that makes you hesitate a little bit for Jay Hill is, would he come in as anything other than a head coach? Would Jay Hill take a non-head coaching job? Based off of some of the things that you and I have heard, there's been non-head coaching opportunities for him that would have paid him very good money that he didn't take. Now, those things aren't verified and they're not public, but you and I have been in the middle of some of these things that have come across our heads and we just kind of grabbed it for a minute and thought, oh, wow, that'd be great. So that's kind of what I'm going off of, but do you think Jay Hill would take a non-head coaching job?
I think he would, given the right situation. Because if your job is, or if your goal is to ultimately be a head coach at the FBS level at a job that you really, really want, because I think there's been some offers for Jay Hill and some opportunities to really pursue at the FBS level that probably weren't great opportunities. Where you go there and you're like, okay, facilities, budget, like, yeah, this ain't going to work. I could take it and I could be here 3 years, but I'm going to get fired. It's not a good spot to be in. But if you want to get a head coaching job at the FBS level at a place that you really want to be at and feel you can be successful at, the path might be easier to be a Power 5 defensive coordinator, which that BYU job would be, as opposed to being an FCS head coach.
You would have to feel like you could win pretty quickly.
Yeah. In fact, yes, that's true. But in fact, I think if he goes to BYU, and again, we're all just speculating here, but if Jay Hill goes to BYU and he has success in the Big 12 defensively, and BYU wins a lot of games and they're a good defense, that resume of him, his is sparkling now. Because now you've got winning at a high level at the FCS level as a head coach and winning as a defensive coordinator at the P5 level in the Big 12.
As well as a special teams coordinator.
And an elite special teams coordinator at the University of Utah. If I'm an athletic director, I'm like, okay, this guy's a no-brainer because he's got the experience on running a program. He knows how to coach at the Big 12 and coordinate. And he's got special teams experience as well. Like, this is
sterling reputation as a human.
Absolutely. So in the progression of him, while it may appear like he's going backwards, I don't think that's the case if he becomes a coordinator at BYU. I think it's a natural progression up.
Well, he'd be stepping into a spot where you feel like in order to improve that defense, it's not a huge leap to improve that defense. It's not.
I mean, based on where they're at.
Right.
Yeah.
That defense was pretty rough.
Yeah. But you can be improved as opposed to this past year, but still really struggle next year going into a Big 12 that's known for its offenses. Like, you could look and see what they're doing, like, oh, wow, they're much better. They're more talented. They're better developed. They've got better scheme. But it may not show out on the field. They might still give up 28 points a game or 30 points a game next year because that's how that conference is while they continue to ramp up their talent level through recruiting.
The timing of it going into the Big 12, would that be more appealing or less appealing for you?
That's a great question. I don't know. I would say more appealing because you get a start from scratch. You can build it the way you want to.
Probably more appealing for that reason, and there's more money.
Yes. The money thing,
never,
absolutely.
Never in the history of Brigham Young University will they have had and need to spend the type of money to get themselves to where they can win.
I mean, TCU, undefeated on the year, right? They still gave up. Here's the point
total. All the way to the championship
game. Here's the point totals they gave up in the Big 12, okay? They gave up 28 or 31 in that loss to Kansas State. They did hold Iowa State to 14. Baylor scored 28 points against them. Texas Tech scored 24 points against them. West Virginia scored 31 points against them. Kansas State, 28 points. Oklahoma State, 40 points against them. Even Kansas had 41 points. Oklahoma with 24 points. Like, you could be, as we mentioned, Baylor or TCU undefeated up until that conference championship game and still giving up 28 to 30 points a game in the Big 12. It's just that conference is loaded with offense.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to hold teams to 28 to 30, not 38 to 40, and you'll win some games. But
you'll be in the mix.
But the days of holding teams to 17 points a game, that doesn't exist in the Big 12. I don't care who you are. You're just not going to do that.
In questioning people as to why the defense at BYU was running the way it was running, it always came back to me, Scotty, that is the talent we have, and that's the talent that we can recruit. That's the talent we get. So we're playing to the talent we have the ability to get. I don't know how much I believe it. I got to imagine that they believe it. I just don't know how much I believe it. I was at BYU with a defensive line that every one of us had a shot in the NFL. I think you can recruit defensive linemen to that university.
Yeah. Especially defensive linemen. They should be growing on trees for BYU.
I don't think that they've got an NFL defensive lineman on the entire roster.
Safeties, defensive backs, that might be another question. But, is that too much to ask that BYU be great on the defensive line and the offensive line and maybe even a linebacker?
No. No, I think BYU linebackers, the history of BYU linebackers are rich. And I will tell you that Ben Bywater and Max Tooley, and I know things went sideways with Peyton Wilgar, and I know that there were some problems throughout the year, and it felt like it continued to deteriorate after every loss. Things got worse and worse. But that was still some really good talent at linebacker that BYU had accumulated with Pepe Tanivasa, and I know they were playing him a bit more off the edge, but Keenan Peely, who was expected to be a large talent. We didn't see that position group take the step we'd hoped. I actually feel like that was probably the biggest letdown of the entire team.
Yeah,
was that linebacking core.
Yep.
I knew that defensive line was what they were, and you'd hope to get some press by Tyler Batty. And I like Tyler Batty. But you can't ask the world of people if that's not their style, if it's not their brand. And so if I'm Jay Hill or if I'm Kelly Popinga, if I'm anybody stepping in to look to take over that defense, I'm looking around like, okay, what can I recruit? How can I recruit? And what can I do to be successful? Kelly Popinga, it looks at him as like, under Bronco Mendenhall, Scotty, we always knew that defense was going to be competitive.
Yes.
There were sometimes they let things seep through the cracks and you'd have this weird offensive performance and Bronco would get to work and make changes, and within a week or two, it'd be a whole new vehicle. But they always played a pretty strong brand of defense. So Kelly Popinga, I'm sure, does have a plan, knows who he can recruit here to BYU, or I would think. Jay Hill would certainly have a plan.
I would imagine, yeah. All right, 1:30 coming up next. Good, the bad, the ugly right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Ben Anderson will join us at 2:05. We'll chat some Utah Jazz with him. And Lloyd, hey, who do we have coming up on tomorrow's show?
That would be this show's, I guess, I don't know.
Chosen
our
son.
Favorite player?
Favorite player.
One of our favorite players that we've been talking about. Actually, well, your favorite player, Hans. Mr. Logan Kendall.
That is going to be an interview you're going to want to circle.
Yeah, what? I've been working on this for a little bit.
What time?
Haven't worked out. 1:05.
1:05.
Join the show at 1:05.
Logan Kendall will join us.
I relayed to them that you're like the mayor of Logan Kendallville, so he's pretty excited.
I've done a lot of work to bring his name to attention.
You demanded some touches, some touchdowns. Feed that man.
Was anybody else talking about him before I did?
Not a soul. And then everybody comes in afterwards like, oh, I've always loved Logan Kendall.
I'm sure you did. After you saw him on my videos, busting heads. We got to figure out exactly what part of Idaho he's from.
Okay.
So that we can have a...
I just hope it's not Jerome.
Let's go Idaho.
Because the people at Jerome don't like us much anymore.
If he says Jerome, do we end the interview?
Probably.
Just to be safe.
You and Colton Swan, go hang out over somewhere else.
We don't want to put anybody else in jeopardy.
No, nope. No, don't want any of that. All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
How in the world do the Utes do it? They pull it off, and they are going to the Rose Bowl again.
That's just an incredible ride. It was more glorious than last year's in terms of the ups and downs and crazy nature of it, thinking you're in, thinking you're out. And Whittingham, he did let it loose. We took a vote to see if we should even show up. I felt something special was going to happen because he's a master of that stuff. He'll downplay it, but it's there. It's real. Fed off of that stuff, and away they went. This is a day to celebrate the coaching staff, celebrate the program. It's the premier program in the Pac-12. If I'm a Ute fan today, I am so happy and proud with my program. Ute fans, how you hanging on? Where are you? This is your day to celebrate.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless, and I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story, the struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hands, how about the good? Let's give away some jazz tickets, shall we?
Let's do it.
It's a Team 49 Tuesday, which means we give away tickets every hour, all day long, right here on the Zone. And this one's even better because you have a chance to go see the Jazz take on Rudy Gobert and the Minnesota Timberwolves Friday at Vivint Arena. Caller number 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-ZONE, and you will have a chance to get tickets. Let's go. 801-575-ZONE.
This is Friday night's game against Rudy Gobert.
Come on. It's Rudy. You want to go?
Everybody wants to go to that game.
You need to go. What's the reception for Rudy going to be like on Friday?
Very good.
I imagine the warm. Jazz will have some kind of cool video that they'll show.
It'll be warm, and it should be warm. I'll admit, I'm going to be there. So
you're going to go to
it? Yeah, I'm going down to the game.
Yeah.
I want to see. I just want to see what the crowd reaction is. I want to watch Rudy. I don't know if Carl Anthony Towns is back yet. I don't believe so, but I have not seen updates on that. Have you seen?
I have not seen on that. No.
Yeah, I haven't either.
But it's certainly, you know, the hope is that this Jazz team is able to. All right, so you're going to go and you're going to celebrate Rudy. It's going to be great. And then you want to kick Minnesota's up and down the court because you want that first round pick, right?
Yep.
I mean, you get it anyway. You just want it to be as bad as it possibly can be. I saw a mock NFL draft that has the Seahawks picking number 2 overall, thanks to the Broncos. That makes me happy.
I know that Carl Anthony Towns was announced out for a period of time.
He'll be out for that game.
That's a bummer. It's looking like Carl Anthony Towns expected to be sidelined for 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, he's out for a good chunk.
So he's got about 5 more weeks to go.
Just, you know what? I would suggest just shutting it down. Just
for the season.
For the season, yeah.
Shut Rudy down.
And yep.
Just let this season go. You tank. Hey, hopefully they'll forget they gave away that draft pick.
I know, right? They're like, hey, you know what we can do is we can build through the draft. I'm sure we have multiple first round picks coming our way.
Yep. Nope. That's not the case. We did it. We did it. That was 12 wins on the season.
That was the joke when the Jazz made the trade. Like, okay, you know, you'll probably be picking at 26, 27 with that Minnesota pick next year. But down the line, you know, that team could fall apart. And then those, you know, picks in 27, 28, those are the ones that are going to pan out.
Yeah.
Instead, it could be this year.
Could be. We'll see. But to your point, the Utah Jazz need to just put the stink on them coming up Friday night.
There you go.
They need to get Golden State tomorrow, though. That'll be a fun one.
That will be. Absolutely. All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
For those of you that didn't hear, Sione Takitaki, who is a linebacker with the Cleveland Browns, former BYU linebacker, tore his ACL. He is out the remainder of the 2022 season. And the Cleveland Browns continue to be in the headlines for better or for worse. More often than not, it is for worse. It's kind of embarrassing what they're doing with their organization right now.
Well, and it's really unfortunate because there's teams that just get a culture and they can't get rid of it. Like the Jets have it. The Browns have it. And then there are some teams that can flip their culture and even when they're not great, they're still okay. Like the Patriots lost Tom Brady, and they're going through some issues, but they're still a 500 football team. Mm-hmm. What really bums me out, like the Broncos had that culture forever. Like a bad year in Denver was 8-8. They had maybe one 7-9 team in there somewhere.
It's okay. You can lump the Raiders in this. The Raiders
are trying to flip that culture too.
They are, but they've been in this bad culture.
But once you get in that funk, you just, and we're talking like not just 2 or 3 years, it feels like decades, where if you get that you just can't flip it.
It is weird, though. I'm not even joking about this. It feels like it was just yesterday that I was celebrating a Peyton Manning Super Bowl and you were celebrating a Denver Broncos Super Bowl victory.
Yes.
It feels like it was just yesterday.
6 years ago. And Denver has had, in its history, leading up to that Peyton Manning Super Bowl, they had had 6 losing seasons total in the franchise, like 47 years. 6 losing seasons. They have had a losing season every single year. This will be 6 straight years. So they've had as many losing seasons in the last 6 years as they did in the previous 47 before then.
Jeez.
And once you get that culture of losing, you can change coaches, GMs, ownership. And for some reason, once you get in that rut, you can't flip it. Like the Jets, how many coaches, how many quarterbacks, how many front office, GMs, if they try to get to flip that thing and they can't do it. The Browns the same way.
It's a lot of purging.
Once you get into that muck, sometimes you just can't get out of it.
Well, the Browns decided they were going to start and play Deshaun Watson as he finished his suspension. He came back 12 of 22, 130 yards. Didn't throw a touchdown, had an interception.
Really bad interception, too.
But the Browns ended up getting a win against the lowly Houston Texans. The Texans are 1-10 on the season. They are not good.
Yeah.
So Houston had the right opponent, and of course it was against Deshaun Watson's former team because I think maybe the NFL thought that'd be cute. Maybe.
I
just don't think there's anything cute about any of it.
No, it sounds like a real cute game to set up.
Did you
know it'd be fun, guys?
Jeez, I know it'd be fun.
Let's sit him out with all the sexual assault charges and let's bring him back against his former team.
Come on, isn't sexual assault funny?
It's not. This is not coincidence. This is planned. But did you guys see that he was booed by his own? The Cleveland fan base booed him.
Yeah. As bad as it is for the Broncos, and I don't know how good of a quarterback. Look, the guy sat out the last 2 years, so I don't know.
700 days.
I don't know if he'll ever be back to where he was at before all this stuff went down. But let's just say Deshaun Watson returns to spectacular Pro Bowl-like levels, throwing touchdowns, winning games, being a great quarterback. I still would rather be, and I say this with all honesty, I'm not trying to be moral high horse here. I would still rather be where I'm at with my team than have him as a quarterback of my team. Just because it's really hard. I got an 11-year-old son that I've got to, you know, that I would have to say, hey, Dad, why do you sit out for 2 years?
Why are the Broncos fans booing him?
Why are they booing him? He's a really good player. He's out there winning games. I'm like, well, son, here we go.
24 counts.
Colton, how did a conversation about Taki Taki tearing his ACL lead to the Broncos? Fine. I'm sorry, Colton. My bad. I'm in a bad mood about it.
It always does, Colton. It always does.
I'm on a bad mood. Taki Taki tore his ACL. I'm sorry.
Denver Broncos haven't made the playoffs since...
I'm angry.
Peyton Manning's championship, and you're worried about Taki Taki?
I'm just saying. Bad things happen to teams that get stuck in... All right, fine. Whatever.
How is the Broncos not the bad news, Scotty?
We hear you, Scotty. No. Yeah, the Broncos are struggling. We get it.
I'm so upset about this. I'm so upset about this.
That's why I just let you vent, and I get right in the foxhole with you. I'm like, let's go, bud. Let's fight against the Broncos. And then you're like, but
let's
I love
them. Our Broncos, they really are struggling this year. Like, that's what Hands does, yeah. Our Broncos are really struggling.
It's not our Broncos. It's my Raiders. Ah, it's our Raiders.
Yeah, yeah.
I have been on this Raiders
team. All I know is if they keep winning, you'll leave that bandwagon.
Hey, do we need another World Cup update? Lloyd, did your Portuguese score another goal?
Yes.
5-1.
And our boy Ronaldo should have had another one, but I think he was offsides, as they call it in the beautiful game.
So he moved before the ball moved?
I don't even know. I don't even understand offsides. We need I think he was crossed that midfield line,
He crossed the blue line before everybody else.
Yes, I think so.
He balked.
Hey, you were at one time on a... should know a little bit of soccer because you used to have to do quite a few soccer interviews.
Isn't that icing?
Icing.
So, Coach, does this game, this big win, get you closer to the playoffs?
Scotty, don't, man.
You're
don't.
In, right?
Don't.
Are People you
don't
in?
Don't even think that's funny anymore.
Sorry.
They don't think that's funny.
My bad.
That's a bad interview back in the day. Lloyd and I talked about him with Christian.
We did. We were talking about it with Christian and Wesley. Yeah.
I wonder how many
some awkward moments.
Bad Scott stories came up on that trip.
No, we had a blast. None. But
Lloyd's over there like,
sorry, I was just trying to think. We discussed some awkward moments with interviews and things that went, and I don't think you really had any.
No.
Oh, we could have. I guess we could have brought the Stuart Mandel one when you pretty much told him, thanks for wasting our time.
Yeah, you did do that.
Yeah. It's my bad.
Did you just say he did?
What, waste our time?
Yeah.
No, I said that was pretty bad.
I thought you said he did.
Yeah, I talked to Stuart, by the way.
He still refuses to come on?
Yeah. Pretty
Stuart's
much.
Got a long memory.
I said, hi, Stuart. I said, hey, Lloyd Cole with The Zone. You come on the show every once in a while. You know, Hands of Scott. He's all, wait, is that the show that said they thank me for taking their time? I said, no.
No.
That's not Stuart.
No, no. That show is called DJ and PK.
That show is called DJ and PK.
They did that. All right, one more. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
Well, this is ugly for BYU. It was announced earlier today that BYU linebacker / defensive end / do-it-all defensively potential guy Logan Fano has entered into the NCAA transfer portal. And it feels like the bad continues to pile up for BYU as they're trying to find a defensive coordinator and they're losing really good talent and... I'm sure they're fighting a pretty hard battle around there right now. Logan Fano's one you just can't lose, and you don't want to lose. He was so good in spring ball. And I'm not saying spring ball's the end-all be-all, but he'd worked himself into at least a starting rotation by the time he'd hurt his knee. You hope that he can rehabilitate and get back and healthy because the kid is always more important than the school. And you hope that he can... find whatever it is that he's looking for to make him happy. My guess is he's going to end up where his brother ends up. I think they want to play together.
Yeah.
His brother, for those of you that don't know, Spencer Fano is one of the top three recruits in the state.
And he's got everybody knocking down his door.
I think he just had Michigan at his house. I think Jim Harbaugh was at his house like the night after.
Jeez.
The championship game. I know that Coach Whittingham and his staff were at his house last night. So he's had a busy couple of days where some big boys are in the house trying to get him. So and I'm not saying that Logan is following Spencer, but I got to imagine that a coaching staff would be like, wait, so if you come, we get your specialty brother that's an edge rusher? That would be nice. Wouldn't suck to have those brothers.
No, it would not. That makes you competitive really quickly. All right, Hans and Scotty, 150. Coming up next, a little whole world news straight ahead right here on The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
How in the world did the Utes do it? They pulled it off, and they are going to the Rose Bowl again.
That's just an incredible ride. It was more glorious than last year's in terms of the ups and downs and crazy nature of it, thinking you're in, thinking you're out. And Whittingham, he did let it loose. We took a vote to see if we should even show up. I felt something special was going to happen because he's a master of that stuff. He'll downplay it, but it's there. It's real. Fed off of that stuff, and away they went. This is a day to celebrate the coaching staff, celebrate the program. It's the premier program in the Pac-12. If I'm a Ute fan today, I am so happy and proud of my program. Ute fans, how you hanging on? Where are you? This is your day to celebrate.
Catch DJ and PK, mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Chevrolet. Proudly serving Utah since 1926. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Go!
It's time to span the globe for the hard-hitting news you care about. Well, not really. But hey, at least we found it interesting. This is Whole World News, presented by City Creek Mortgage on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're all having a tremendous Tuesday. And, time for another edition of Whole World News right here on The Zone.
So, if you were a medical director
at
a hospital,
okay,
and you had a 72-year-old female patient that was a little bit unruly, and she told you, Scotty, my roommate's oxygen is too loud.
Yeah.
And you told her, look, Miss Simpkins.
Oh, I saw this. Yes.
I get that the oxygen machine is loud, but Miss Liddell relies on that.
Yeah.
In order to stay alive. And then the 72-year-old patient goes and turns it off and unplugs it in the middle of the night because it's too loud. How do you handle that? Because this is not a laughing matter.
No, I know it's not. And I apologize for chuckling a little bit. Did she?
The 79-year-old woman that was hooked up to the oxygen was resuscitated and is still in intensive medical care. They're trying to keep her alive, but her 72-year-old roommate could not deal with the noise of the oxygen machine, and she just said, screw it. I'm not.
Just goes over there.
It's driving me bonkers. It's so noisy.
She voiced her concerns. So like, I can't sleep.
Lloyd, well, you cannot have this lady's back.
She voiced her concern, and she had turned it off once before, but it was immediately spotted, and they were able to get it back on. But this time, they didn't spot it.
You ever notice that old people are either, like, super nice or, like, really some of the meanest people?
Yeah, because before my mom made fudge, she was a nurse, and she was a nurse's director in Weezer. She got a nursing degree at Weber State.
I wish more things would start with before my mom made fudge.
Yeah, well,
I feel like life would be way better.
For those of you that don't know, my mom became very famous off of her ability to make great hand-dipped classic candies.
Partly due to your guerrilla marketing techniques on TV.
Yeah, I don't think that actually had any influence. I still want to find that video, though, because I did.
JJ, if you're listening, we got to find the video of hands. Was it on KSL? I'm assuming it would be with Lavelle.
I believe it was KSL. And for those of you that don't know, I taped a sheet of paper to my chest that said, buy chocolates from Fonz Candies. And undid my shirt while Lavelle Edwards was in the middle of an interview.
Jeez.
We got to find it because it's so awkward because Lavelle looks at me and he's just disgusted.
I can't imagine how grumpy he was over that. And you guys probably rode up together, right?
We did. Never took me on another interview again.
Yeah.
And I don't really remember what he said on the way back because I did a really good job of not hearing people. What I didn't want to hear people.
You don't say. Wow.
Lloyd, I don't
I'm
need
sorry. To. I'm sorry. I'm sorry because I can relate to this.
But
I can relate to your selective hearing.
Anyway.
The first time that I heard the F word in my life, I was in sixth grade, and I used to have to come to the nursing home where my mom was the head of nurses, and I would sit there and wait until she got off her break to run me home.
How many applesauces did you steal?
I don't remember stealing any applesauces. I remember old people giving me applesauces.
While they were asleep.
Puddings. I didn't want the applesauce. I wanted the pudding.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So there were two old women, and they were in their wheelchairs, and one of them lost her mind about the remote to the TV and said, if you don't give me that beeping remote. And I was sitting there. I could not believe what I heard. So to your point, old people, like really old people that are on the edge, they can be really mean, man.
Yes.
Really volatile.
And so here's a lady. She's trying to get a good night's sleep. And
oxygen machine is keeping her awake.
Edna's oxygen machine keeps beeping. So Gladys is over there. I'm going to take matters in my own hands.
Yep. And turn the thing off. I do hope that this 79-year-old woman that has been resuscitated makes it. It's really is a horrible story. It's just
crazy.
Should
the 72-year-old go to prison? Attempted murder?
I don't know what they're going to do with her.
Yeah, but I can't imagine she's all...
Because here's the thing. She doesn't...
Losing a step.
She shouldn't earn her own room because of this. Like, okay, well, you guys can't get along, so let's send her over into our private room. No!
Well, what's sad is the attendant is probably the one that's really...
Yeah, that's true. Because you got to catch that stuff.
There's probably somebody that's on the line for this.
There's enough monitors there. You would think maybe that got turned off, too. She's like, not only am I going to turn off the oxygen, I'm going to turn off everything so that...
Because every time I turn off the oxygen, they come running in. So yeah. This button might turn that off. I don't know if they're going to just pin it all on her. But if I'm her, I'd be like, well, they haven't given me my medication. Like, I'm finding a reason why I lost it.
Yeah. All right. 202, Hans and Scotty. Ben Anderson's going to join us next right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another... pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.